Hello, I'm Chris Wyatt, and I'm your guide for this deep dive.
And I'm Morgan Grace, here to help synthesize the complexity.
Okay, so today we are tackling, well, a really massive, complex, and honestly, quite urgent market shift. It's happening right now across the U.S. federal government, and it's huge supply chain.
Mm-hmm. It's a big one.
So let's unpack the mission for this deep dive. We are aiming to deliver an exhaustive report on why U.S. federal civilian agencies, federal systems integrators, FSIs, and defense contractors should adopt absolute security.
Right. And specifically why they need it to meet all these new initiatives, mandates, and, you know, their core mission requirements, all with the goal to secure things better and accelerate that speed to mission.
Exactly. That title, it's a mouthful, but it really captures this critical challenge. It's right at the heart of national security and just basic government operations today.
Yeah, the urgency is, you can feel it. We're seeing this convergence of major federal policy. You've got the Zero Trust mandate, you have CMMC 2.0 enforcement breathing down necks, and the ongoing CDM program.
And all these together have created this, well, immediate, really urgent requirement for a foundational kind of technology.
Absolutely. They need a system that fundamentally secures the endpoint, you know, the device itself, against the, well, inevitable failures of software, because software breaks.
And this deep dive, it isn't just about checking compliance boxes, mm-hmm. right? It's about understanding the core operational viability, really, of the modern federal enterprise.
That's the key.
We've got materials that really detail the Achilles heel of this whole zero trust model. You know, the critical vulnerability that pops up because software agents are just fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the fallout from that, this crisis of compliance drift that's hitting defense contractors especially hard.
We'll definitely unpack that.
And then we'll dive into the specific solution, this unique firmware-embedded technology that seems positioned to actually solve these problems. It provides that sort of unbreakable digital tether the government seems to desperately need right now.
Yeah, the central story, you know, running through all the sources we looked at, is that this big federal shift towards zero trust architecture, or ZTA, and continuous compliance, it's fundamentally fragile.
Without something holding it together with the
battery. Exactly. It needs a resilient foundation. Because the whole ZTA model, it can fail at the worst possible moment, like when a critical security agent, say your EDR, your endpoint detection and response tool, or maybe disk encryption, when that gets disabled or corrupted or just stops working.
Right.
So our discussion today, it's really going to show exactly how a firmware-embedded solution, something built into the hardware, provides that necessary foundation, how it lets you move beyond that fragility towards, you know, verifiable continuous security.
Okay, let's get into it then. Let's start with the policy landscape because, I mean, in the federal world, policy drives everything. It dictates the tech solutions. And this whole transformation, it was mandated right from the top, wasn't it? With the zero trust requirement from Executive Order 14028.
That's right. EO 14028, Improving the Nation's Cybersecurity, signed back in May 2021. And it really represents the most significant overhaul of federal cybersecurity policy in, well, decades.
Decades, yeah.
It's the primary driver, the non-negotiable catalyst, pushing agencies away from those old kind of outdated perimeter security models.
The castle and moat idea.
Exactly. Towards zero trust. And then the detailed operational blueprint, you know, the how-to for agencies, that's laid out in the Office of Management and Budget Memo, OMB M22-09.
M22-09. Got it. And that memo establishes the core zero trust idea, right? That no actor, whether it's a person, a system, a device, gets trusted by default.
Precisely. Verification has to be explicit. It has to be continuous and comprehensive for every single access request, every transaction, no exception.
Okay. And this ZTA strategy, it's built around those five pillars from the CISA's Zero Trust Maturity Model.
Correct. You've got identity, networks, applications, data, and the one we're really focusing on today, devices.
The endpoint itself.
Yeah. It elevates the endpoint, the laptop, the desktop, the tablet, to a really central role in the security decision. The OMB mandate explicitly requires that the devices federal staff use are, and I quote, consistently tracked and monitored.
Consistently tracked and monitored.
And their security posture, their health, has to be taken into account in real time when deciding whether to grant access to critical systems and data.
Okay, so the device itself has to kind of prove it's trustworthy to the network before it gets to talk to applications or access sensitive data.
Exactly.
But this is where we hit that critical failure point, what the sources are calling the Achilles heel of the whole ZTA model.
Mm-hmm.
Because that policy engine, the thing making the access decisions. It relies entirely on getting continuous real-time device health data. Is the EDR running? Is the disk encrypted? Is the configuration compliant?
Right. And if the system cannot verify the trustworthiness of that device, well, access should be denied. That's the theory.
Should be.
Or, and this is much worse, the system might grant access based on old, stale data because the agent isn't reporting correctly anymore. And that just creates a massive security hole.
Which leads directly to this dark endpoint problem everyone's talking about.
The dark endpoint.
Hold on. Why are these security agents the software that's supposed to enforce the ZTA policy?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they so fragile? I mean, if they're mandatory, shouldn't IT policy just make sure they stay running? Seems simple enough.
Well, that's the core issue, isn't it? They are software, and all software, especially complex security software operating in these huge, diverse government environments, It's notoriously fragile.
Okay.
We see several common failure modes mentioned again and again in the sources. First, you know, intentional disabling. Maybe a high privileged user wants to bypass monitoring for some reason.
Right.
Second, corruption during routine patching. You know, an OS update or even a security patch conflicts with the agent. Maybe two different security vendors' tools step on each other, and one or both crash.
Uh-huh. Seen that too.
Third, and this seems really common in large government orgs, updates or just misconfigurations pushed out via group policy objects, GPOs, they can unintentionally disable or even completely remove the agents across thousands of machines.
Ouch. So if an endpoint's operating system gets wiped and re-imaged cleanly,
yep,
or if the hard drive is physically replaced, or even if a user accidentally or maybe maliciously just uninstalls the agent,
then puff, the device just vanishes from the enterprise management console. It can't check in. It becomes dark.
Completely invisible.
Precisely. A dark endpoint cannot prove its trustworthiness,
yeah,
which means that crucial access decision required by zero trust, It fails or relies on bad data. This inherent fragility, it fundamentally undermines the entire ZTA architecture.
So think of the federal environment, like you said, as this new distributed security fortress, the ZTA.
Right.
The locks on all the doors are these critical security agents, EDR, encryption, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If those locks can be picked or just, you know, fall off because the software glitched.
The whole fortress fails.
Exactly. Without some kind of foundational mechanism, something that guarantees the integrity and the presence of those agents, the entire ZTA structure remains fundamentally fragile and frankly non-compliant with the spirit, if not the letter, of a mandate.
That makes perfect sense. And it brings us nicely to the broader context of accountability, doesn't it? Which is why NIST CSF 2.0, the Cybersecurity Framework Update in 2024, became so important.
Yeah, the 2024 release of the NIST Cybersecurity Framework, version 2.0, It introduced a pretty radical but honestly necessary change.
Right.
This sixth core function, govern.
Govern. Okay. Before this, cybersecurity was often seen more as just a technical implementation problem, right? Like an IT issue.
Exactly. But what govern practically means for, say, an agency CIO or the head of the agency, it means cybersecurity risk is formally elevated. It's not just a tech support ticket anymore. It's an enterprise-level risk management issue demanding executive accountability.
So heads will roll if it's not managed properly. Potentially, yes. NIST is demanding demonstrable, auditable proof that controls are effective across the entire enterprise. By centralizing policy, risk management strategy, compliance activities, they're basically treating cyber risk like financial risk.
You need the receipts. You need auditable records, executive sign-off.
You got it.
And that push for verifiable accountability, it naturally ties into the whole supply chain risk management piece, CSCRM. EO 14028 put a lot of emphasis on securing the software supply chain.
Absolutely. The mandate is crystal clear. Organizations have to inventory their suppliers. They need to demand security data, like a software bill of materials, an SBOM, from their vendors.
So for civilian agencies, this means making sure the software they buy and use has integrity all the way down the chain.
Correct. But for the defense industrial base, the DIB, the stakes are even higher, because for them, it's tied directly to contracts through CMNC 2.0.
Right. So while ZTA and NIST CSF 2.0 are guiding the civilian side, the Department of Defense, the DOD, has its own massive mandatory requirement, the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification, CMMC version 2.0.
And CMMC 2.0 compliance, it's now a mandatory prerequisite. You can't get or renew pretty much any DOD contract without it.
It's all about protecting that controlled unclassified information, CUI, and federal contract information, FCI, that flows through the massive DIB ecosystem.
That's the goal and the urgency here. You really can't overstate it. The sources are unanimous. Enforcement is mandatory starting November 10th, 2025.
November 10th, 2025. That's coming up fast.
It is. It's an absolute deadline for compliance. No more extensions, no more wiggle room.
And the focus for most contractors, especially the smaller ones, is CMMC Level 2, right?
Okay.
Which aligns with those 1 in 10 controls from NIST SP 800-171 Revision 2.
Correct. And getting to Level 2 typically requires a formal assessment by a certified third-party assessment organization, a C3PAO, every 3 years.
Okay, every 3 years. But the real pressure point, as you mentioned, seems to be that mandatory annual affirmation of compliance.
That's where the rubber meets the road. And that annual affirmation is exactly where this compliance drift crisis really explodes.
Explain that.
Yeah.
Because a successful audit, like you said, it's just a snapshot in time, isn't it?
Exactly. It's point in time. Hmm. But a huge chunk of those 110 CMMC controls, they rely on the consistent, uninterrupted operation of those same fragile software agents we just talked about.
Disk encryption, host-based firewalls, EDR, system patching tools.
All of them. So a contractor might pass their C3PAO assessment on a Monday. Everything looks great, certified, compliant.
Mix all the box.
But by Friday, maybe a dozen devices had their encryption agent crash during a Windows update, or the EDR service stopped on a few servers due to a conflict. Suddenly, they are no longer actually compliant.
That gap between the audit snapshot and the day-to-day reality, that's compliance drift.
That's compliance drift. And making that required annual affirmation, signing on the dotted line saying, yes, we are compliant, under those conditions, it's incredibly perilous.
Because the executive signing that affirmation is taking on massive personal and corporate liability.
Right.
Legal and financial liability.
Huge liability. If they can't prove that those controls have been operational continuously, 24/7, 365, especially the ones relying on software agents, they're exposed. They need to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that those controls are being enforced all the time.
And this risk? Across the entire DIB, what is it, 80,000 contractors?
Estimated, yeah. Huge number. This risk is where that immediate, almost desperate market opportunity lies for a solution.
Particularly for those 8,350 medium and large entities needing that formal C3PAO Level 2 assessment. They are really under the gun.
They are. They need a system urgently that can persistently monitor the health of these compliance-enabling agents.
And not just monitor, but fix them automatically when they break.
Exactly. Automatically remediate them the moment they fail. Something that transforms compliance from this periodic stressful scramble into a continuous verifiable state.
It's fascinating when you lay it out like that. The core problem across the entire federal ecosystem, whether it's ZTA on the civilian side or CMMC for defense, it really boils down to the same thing. Software just can't reliably manage the integrity of other software agents without some kind of fundamental resilient anchor.
Something below the chaos of the operating system. Something rooted in the hardware itself. Which brings us neatly to the unique technology that actually provides that unbreakable anchor, the thing that solves these fragility issues inherent in ZTA and CMMC. And that foundation is Absolute's patented persistence technology.
Yeah, persistence. It's the core differentiator, you say.
Yeah.
But, you know, persistence gets thrown around a lot in cybersecurity.
Yeah.
What makes Absolute's persistence actually unique compared to, say, other agents or endpoint security tools?
Hmm?
And what's the technical how? How does it work?
Great question. The key is where it lives. Absolute's persistence isn't software that your IT team installs after the fact. It's embedded at the factory level, deep inside the BioSWEFI firmware of the device.
Firmware, so below the operating system.
Exactly. We're talking over 600 million devices shipped from the factory with this built-in. Machines from Dell, HP, Lenovo, Microsoft, Panasonic, over 24 major OEMs. It sits below the OS, creating what you could call a true hardware root of trust for the device itself.
Okay, so it's not just another piece of software to manage. It's baked into the machine's identity from the start.
Yeah.
How does that firmware component actively ensure the Absolute agent, the software part in the OS, stays alive and working?
It creates this unbreakable digital tether. Inside the firmware code, there's a sophisticated monitoring module, tiny, efficient. This module constantly checks on the health and presence of the Absolute software agent running up in the operating system.
Okay.
Now, here's the critical mechanism, the patented part. If the Absolute agent is removed, maybe deleted by a user.
Or malware,
right. Or if it gets disabled, corrupted, or crucially, if it's lost during a clean OS re-image.
Like wiping the C drive and starting fresh.
Exactly. Or even if the physical hard drive is completely replaced, a process that normally kills all installed software agents.
Right. Nothing survives that usually.
The firmware module automatically triggers a reinstallation of the Absolute agent.
Wait, hang on. If the operating system is completely wiped, totally clean install, how does the firmware, which is separate hardware code, manage to reinstall software into the new OS that the user just put on? Doesn't the new OS just overwrite everything?
Ah, this is the clever bit. It's where the patents really come into play. The firmware module contains the necessary hook or, you know, code snippet that's designed to activate even after a clean OS install.
How?
It leverages the platform's own built-in ability to communicate during the OS loading sequence. It essentially wakes up, reaches out across the internet to the Absolute platform, downloads the necessary agent components, and restores that full two-way communication channel.
All automatically, without IT needing to touch it or the user even knowing.
Correct. No manual IT intervention, no user credentials needed for that part. This mechanism of resilience, this self-healing from the firmware level, it's entirely unique in the market. It cannot be circumvented by standard IT practices like reimaging or by malware attacking the OS layer or by accidental deletion.
That genuinely sounds like it solves the dark endpoint problem. If the device's security agent fails or the whole OS goes sideways, the firmware ensures that visibility and the ability to remediate never truly fail. It provides that continuous, verifiable security posture.
That's the core value proposition.
But okay, devil's advocate here. If this technology is embedded at the factory level by OEMs, doesn't that introduce its own kind of supply chain risk?
Yeah.
I mean, now you're tied into the integrity of the hardware manufacturers. How does Absolute mitigate that? Mm-hmm. Especially the NIST CSF 2.0 and EO 140.28 hammering on supply chain integrity.
That's a really valid and important question, especially for the federal space. Absolute operates, as you'd expect, a robust, frequently audited supply chain assurance program directly with its OEM partners. The firmware code itself is relatively small and focused. It's essentially a monitoring and restoration tool, not the primary OS or the bootloader itself.
Okay.
Furthermore, you have to consider its pervasive adoption. 600 million devices is a massive number. That suggests it has passed some incredibly rigorous vetting by these large, very security-conscious OEMs who have their own reputations and government contracts on the line. They demand extremely high levels of software integrity.
So the argument is the benefit of having that hardware-level assurance against agent failure far outweighs the managed risk of the OEM partnership, especially when the alternative is the known immediate systemic risk of fragile software agents failing constantly.
That's precisely the calculation federal agencies and contractors are making. The risk of fragile software agents is documented, it's happening now, and it directly undermines mandates. The firmware persistence offers a concrete solution to that risk.
Makes sense. Okay, so this persistent foundation, this capability, it's delivered to the federal sector primarily via the Absolute Secure Endpoint product suite. And crucially for civilian agencies, you mentioned a significant milestone was hit in March 2025.
Yes, the Absolute Secure Endpoint platform achieved FedRAMP Moderate Authorization to Operate, ATO.
FedRAMP Moderate ATO, and that's basically table stakes, right? Non-negotiable for deployment in civilian agencies.
Absolutely non-negotiable. It signifies that the solution meets the stringent security, privacy, and risk management standards required by the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program. Without it, you can't sell into civilian agencies.
Okay, let's break down how Secure Endpoint, with persistence at its core, maps directly to those ZTA pillars and also the CMMC control requirements. How does it solve the problems we outlined?
Let's start with the foundational ZTA requirements. First, visibility. Absolute Secure Endpoint provides that fundamental asset intelligence. We're talking hundreds of granular hardware and software data points continuously collected. This is the mandatory starting point for any ZTA initiative and also for the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation, or CDM, program.
Right. It fulfills that OMB M2209 mandate to consistently track and monitor all devices.
Exactly. Regardless of whether they're on the corporate network, at home, or, you know, sitting in a closet somewhere, it keeps track.
And this directly addresses that huge failure point reported by the Government Accountability Office, GAO, right, where they found something like 20 out of 23 major federal agencies just lacked complete, accurate, real-time inventory of their devices.
That's the gap it closes. It eliminates that fundamental visibility problem, the dark endpoints. Next pillar, control.
Okay.
For a federal agency, control means being able to act decisively on a device that's remote, maybe lost or stolen, or known to be compromised. This is central to the NIST Cybersecurity Framework's respond function.
So what kind of control actions?
Things like remotely freezing the device, making it unusable. selectively deleting specific sensitive files or folders to prevent data exfiltration if compromise is suspected, and critically, performing a full data wipe with an auditable certificate of sanitization.
That last one is huge for device retirement and decommissioning, right?
Yeah.
Proving the data was destroyed according to standards.
Vital for compliance and preventing data breaches from old hardware. Now let's talk about the capability really purpose-built to eliminate compliance drift. Resilience.
This sounds like the big one for CMMC especially.
It's the definitive answer for both ensuring the ZTA device pillar is actually working and for achieving continuous CMMC compliance. The application resilience feature, it takes that core persistence power, the self-healing from firmware, and extends it to other critical third-party security applications running on the endpoint.
How many? What kind of apps?
The library is constantly growing, but it's over 80 mission-critical agents currently. We're talking about endpoint protection platforms, EDR tools like CrowdStrike, SentinelOne, Microsoft Defender for Endpoint, encryption clients like BitLocker or McAfee Drive Encryption, data loss prevention or DLP tools, VPN clients, even vulnerability scanners like Nessus or Qualys.
Wow, okay, so let's say an agency mandates CrowdStrike EDR on all endpoints. If that CrowdStrike agent fails, crashes, gets corrupted, whatever application resilience, which is powered by the firmware persistence,
automatically detects that failure, usually within minutes. And then, depending on how it's configured, it can either attempt to repair the existing agent, restart the necessary services, or, if needed, trigger a complete reinstallation of that CrowdStrike agent from a secure source.
All without IT having to lift a finger or even know about it immediately.
That's precisely correct. It provides the continuous enforcement mechanism that's required for true CMMC compliance. It transforms CMMC from that stressful periodic audit scramble into a continuous verifiable state of being.
Because it ensures the controls that depend on those fragile software agents. Things like, what, NIST SP 800-171 controls for configuration management, CM8, or System and Information Integrity, SI2.
Exactly those. It ensures they are persistently operational. It provides the continuous auditable proof needed to confidently make those risky annual affirmations.
That resilience capability must also directly impact the security mission against major threats like ransomware. The ability to recover systems quickly is paramount for continuity of operations, QMP.
Absolutely. The platform isn't just about preventing failure. It's about response hygiene checks. Are backups working? Are patches up to date? Is encryption active?
Proactive checks.
Right. And then crucially, the post-incident rehydrate capability. If devices are compromised, Rehydrate enables firmware-assisted remote device recovery.
Firmware-assisted, how does that work?
Because persistence survives even a ransomware attack that encrypts the main drive or tries to wipe the OS, it provides a secure channel back to the device. IT can then use this channel to remotely push down a clean, trusted OS image and baseline application set, restoring the device back to a pristine, compliant state.
And that's faster than traditional methods.
Much faster. We're talking potentially hours compared to the days or even weeks often required for manual collection, wiping, and re-imaging of devices, especially for a remote workforce. This ability to maintain operational readiness to get people back online quickly and securely is a huge win for federal QPAT requirements.
Okay, so that covers the endpoint itself, visibility, control, resilience. But federal agencies also have to secure the connectivity, especially with massive telework initiatives. The old reliance on traditional VPNs for remote access, that's kind of incompatible with the Zero Trust Network pillar, isn't it?
Completely incompatible. Traditional VPNs often grant broad, implicit trust once a user authenticates. You get access to the entire network segment, which is exactly what Zero Trust forbids. That's where Absolute Secure Access comes in.
Secure Access. So this is a separate product?
Yes. It's part of the broader platform focused on network connectivity. It's a modern Zero Trust Network Access, or ZTNA, solution. It directly addresses the ZTA networks and data pillars by establishing a software-defined perimeter around specific applications or resources. It essentially eliminates that legacy VPN model.
And what's the core security improvement there? How does ZTNA work differently?
It enforces the core Zero Trust principle of least privilege access, but on a possession per application basis. When a user tries to connect to a resource, Secure Access verifies the user, verifies the device posture using data potentially from secure endpoint, and then grants access only to that specific application or resource for that specific session.
So no broad network access. If one endpoint gets compromised, the attacker can't just wander around the internal network looking for other targets.
Exactly. It dramatically limits the blast radius. It eliminates that risk of lateral movement, which is how most major breaches spread. Furthermore, for federal environments, secure access includes critical features like FIPS 140.23 validated encryption modes, essential for handling CUI and other sensitive data.
FIPS validation is key for federal.
Absolutely. And it also includes rich digital experience monitoring, what they call Insights for Network. This helps agency IT proactively see and troubleshoot connectivity or application performance issues for remote users, managing productivity alongside security.
Okay, fantastic. We've established the problem system: fragility, compliance drift, dark endpoints. And the solution: firmware-based persistence delivering visibility, control, and resilience. Now, let's get strategic. We need the roadmap. Which specific agencies, with contractors, which partners are the absolute highest priority targets, and crucially, why? Where's the biggest leverage?
Right. The targeting has to be really disciplined here because the market drivers are distinct for each segment. Let's start with federal civilian agencies, the FCEB agencies.
Okay, civilian side first. What's their primary driver?
It's overwhelmingly the operationalization of that zero trust transition we talked about, mandated by OMB M2209. And often the funding and implementation vehicle for that is the ongoing CDM program, continuous diagnostics and mitigation.
So within civilian, who are the tier one agencies, where is this ZTA challenge, this endpoint fragility problem, most acute right now?
We need to prioritize based on a few factors: large distributed workforces, significant volumes of sensitive data like PII or PHI, the largest cyber budgets funding these ZTA transitions, and frankly, influence across the rest of the government.
Makes sense. So who fits that bill?
First, absolutely top tier is the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, and especially CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency within DHS.
Why DHSEF first?
Well, they're the federal mandate drivers for ZTA. CISA sets the guidance. They're also the Operational Center for Federal Cybersecurity Defense. They have a massive cyber budget reported around $3.0 billion, and they are central to that $470 million CDM program, which is all about visibility and diagnostics. A win at DHS-CISA is highly influential across all the other 23 CFO Act agencies.
Okay, DHS-CISA, number one.
Who's next?
Second, the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. Think about the scale there. Massive endpoint estates across numerous sub-agencies like NIH, CDC, CMS, and they are responsible for protecting enormous quantities of protected health information, PHI, and personally identifiable information, PII.
Huge target for attackers.
Huge. Plus, their sustained push into telework and especially telehealth demands exceptionally high continuous endpoint security and visibility. ZTA is critical for them.
Okay, HHS. And third, the Department of Veterans Affairs, VA. Again, immense scale. They handle incredibly sensitive veteran PHI. They have a large ongoing IT modernization budget aimed at improving services and security. They fit the profile perfectly: large scale, sensitive data, modernization focus.
DHS-CISA, HHS-VA, top three civilian. And for these agencies, what's the single highest priority use case? The one that really makes the sale, solves their most pressing ZTAS-CDM problem.
It's absolutely ensuring security tool uptime using application resilience. They have to guarantee that their mandated EDR, their DLP, their encryption tools are always operational to meet the ZTA device pillar requirements. Absolute directly delivers that guarantee.
And the CDM connection.
For the CDM program, Absolute's persistent, always accurate asset inventory is foundational. It provides the basic visibility CDM requires, feeding data into the federal dashboard and supporting initiatives like high-value asset HVA protection. It's a natural fit.
Okay, clear priorities on the civilian side. Now let's shift to the Department of Defense market, the DIB. Here the driver is different, right? It's that non-negotiable CMMC 2.0 enforcement deadline, November 10th, 2025.
Exactly. The driver is compliance, pure and simple. And the DIB sales strategy really needs to be two-pronged. Tier one is focusing on the top 25 prime contractors.
The big names: Lockheed Martin, RTX, formerly Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, Boeing, Leidos, Booz Allen Hamilton.
Those are the ones. They have the largest budgets, yes. But more importantly, they are subject to the contractual flow-down requirement,
Meeting.
meaning the primes are financially and legally responsible for ensuring that all of their subcontractors down the entire supply chain also meet the required CMMC levels for the contracts they work on.
Ah, so the primes become a strategic point of leverage. They have a vested interest in pushing compliance solutions down to their subs.
Precisely. They need their supply chain secure to secure their own contracts. Selling to a prime can drive demand through their entire ecosystem.
Okay, so primes are tier one for strategic leverage.
Yeah.
But where's the volume market? Where's that compliance crisis, the compliance drift problem, hitting hardest?
That's a tier two subcontractors. The priority volume market is that group of 8,350 medium and large entities that are required to undergo the formal level two C3PAO assessment.
8,350, that's a big number.
It is. And this segment is often highly resource constrained compared to the primes. They're facing intense pressure to comply by the deadline. They likely lack large internal security teams, and they're desperate for efficient solutions. This group represents the immediate high margin market opportunity, estimated somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion just for assessment readiness and tooling.
And for these 8,350 subcontractors, what's their single most compelling use case, the message that cuts through?
It is unequivocally continuous compliance enforcement via application resilience. This capability directly addresses their biggest fear, compliance drift and the liability of the annual affirmation.
Because it ensures the controls stay working.
It ensures continuous auditable proof that their NIST 800-171 controls are operational, 247. It provides the evidence they need to pass audits, yes, but more importantly, to make that annual affirmation with confidence and reduce their legal exposure. It's an elegant solution that tackles over 30 NIST 800-171 controls simultaneously, dramatically reducing the cost and the sheer manual labor involved in trying to maintain compliance periodically.
It automates the evidence gathering, essentially.
In large part, yes. For the agent-based controls, it provides that continuous validation.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's look at the crucial implementation ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
The federal systems integrators, the FSIs, and the channels that sell into federal. FSIs are the architects and the boots on the ground for these big ZTA and CDM rollouts, right?
Absolutely. They are mission-critical strategic partners. You don't sell complex solutions at scale in federal without them. They're the ones embedding technologies like Absolute into massive, multi-year government modernization contracts.
So why are firms like Leidos, Booz Allen, Accenture Federal Services, SAI, CACI, and Periton listed as the Tier 1 FSI priorities?
Because these specific firms are the ones currently designing, implementing, and often managing the ZTA and CDM solutions for both the DoD and the big civilian agencies we just discussed, they hold the key contracts.
So when we talk to an FSI program manager or a solution architect at one of these firms, the value proposition can't just be about security features for the end customer of the agency. It has to resonate with the FSI's own business goals, right? Make their life easier, make them more profitable.
That is the crucial lever with FSIs. You have to frame Absolute as their operational risk mitigator and, frankly, their easy button.
Easy button. How so?
Think about it from their perspective. They are managing potentially thousands, even tens of thousands, of endpoints for their government clients. They operate under intense pressure to meet strict contractual service level agreements, SLAs.
Right. Uptime requirements, security posture requirements.
Exactly. And when those fragile security agents fail on the endpoints they manage, it creates security gaps for the client, yes, but it also directly violates the FSI's SLAs. And critically, it necessitates expensive, often unbillable labor costs for their own staff to manually investigate and remediate those failures. It eats into their profit margin.
So by embedding Absolute self-healing persistence into their standard offering,
the FSI immediately reduces their own high labor costs associated with chasing down and fixing broken agents.
Makes their operation more efficient.
Dramatically.
Yeah.
They eliminate that service delivery risk, they reduce their operational costs, and they can deliver a far more resilient, more compliant, and therefore more profitable managed service solution to their government customer.
They could even position it as a differentiator, right? Like our ZTA solution includes self-healing endpoints.
Absolutely. They can position Absolute as the resilient backbone for scalable offerings like CMMC compliance as a service or managed ZTA device security. It's a pure efficiency, risk reduction, and profitability play for the FSI.
Okay, that's compelling for FSIs. And finally, let's touch on channel distribution. You mentioned one partner specifically that is absolutely critical for procurement velocity in the federal space.
That would be Carahsoft Technology. They hold a unique and crucial position as the designated master government aggregator.
Master government aggregator. What does that mean in practice?
It means Carahsoft is the central pillar, the main hub, for federal IT distribution and procurement. They provide technology vendors like Absolute access to essential government-wide contract vehicles, like GSA schedules. These are the contracts agencies use for rapid, streamlined procurement, bypassing lengthy individual bids.
So they grease the wheels of federal purchasing.
They absolutely do. And just as importantly, Carahsoft connects Absolute to a massive network of hundreds, maybe thousands, of smaller and medium-sized value-added resellers, VARs, who specialize in selling to specific niches within the federal market.
So deepening the strategic partnership with Carahsoft is key.
The sources identify it as an immediate critical action. Strengthening that relationship is essential to accelerate procurement velocity across all target agencies and contractors, leveraging both the major contract vehicles and the broader reseller network.
All right, let's shift gears to execution. We know the problem, we know the solution, we know who to target, the priority agencies, contractors, and FSIs. Now, we need to make sure the message lands perfectly. It has to align with these specific mandates, and crucially, with the specific pressures each individual persona faces in their role.
Exactly. Generic feature pitches just won't cut it in federal. The message has to be laser focused.
Before we dive into that persona-based messaging matrix, let's quickly recap. What are the top mission-critical use cases for Absolute Secure Endpoint and Secure Access, specifically driven by these federal mandates? Just boiling it down.
Okay, summarizing the core value propositions tied to mandates, they cluster into about five key areas that immediately address documented federal failures and requirements.
Go for it.
First, zero trust implementation. Absolute provides that hardware root of trust and the continuous device health verification that OMB M2209 demands. It basically makes the ZTA device's pillar actually function reliably.
Okay, foundational ZTA.
Second, endpoint resilience and self-healing. This is application resilience, ensuring that mandated EDR encryption DLP tools are operational essentially 100% of the time. This guarantees mission continuity for agencies and enables continuous CMMC compliance for contractors.
Solves the fragility problem.
Third, asset tracking and continuous visibility. This directly solves that GAO-identified inventory gap. It feeds accurate, real-time device data to the CDM federal dashboard and eliminates the dark endpoint problem. You know what you have, always.
Basic hygiene, but critical.
Fourth, ransomware readiness and rapid recovery. Using those pre-incident hygiene checks to ensure preparedness, and then the post-incident rehydrate capability to restore compliant baselines in hours, not weeks. This directly addresses critical QOP requirements.
Resilience against attacks.
And fifth, compliance automation. Providing that continuous audit-ready evidence for FISMA requirements, CMMC controls, and specific NIST 853 controls like configuration management, CM8, and media sanitization, MP6, by proving agent integrity and control effectiveness over time.
Okay, those five pillars cover the core needs. Now, the key to successful engagement, especially in federal where roles are so defined, is that persona-based messaging matrix. We have to tailor the message. Let's start right at the top. The agency CIO or CISO. Big picture responsibility.
Right. Persona one, agency CIO, CISO, their pain points, what keeps them up at night. It's usually centered on enterprise risk management. They worry intensely about meeting these strict executive order and OMB mandates under constant congressional and public scrutiny.
Huge pressure.
They need to prove verifiable ROI on massive security spending, and they're almost always dealing with systemic cybersecurity talent shortages. They need assurance. They need confidence.
So what's the core value message that truly resonates with their governed mandate under NIST CSF 2.0?
Yeah.
How do you give them that confidence?
The core message should be govern with confidence, something like, Absolute provides the unbreakable foundation for your entire zero trust architecture. We guarantee the persistent visibility, control, and resilience you need to effectively manage enterprise risk and demonstrate continuous, auditable compliance with all federal mandates from EO 14028 and M2209 to NIST, CSF 2.0, and CDM.
So it's about accountability, guaranteed outcomes, making the reporting easy.
Exactly. Reducing their personal and organizational risk.
Okay, next persona. The defense contractor CSO, or maybe the compliance officer, the one staring down that November 2025 CMMC deadline, the guillotine, as you called it.
Yeah. Persona 2, defense contractor CSO compliance officer. Their pain points are incredibly focused and acute right now. Number one is achieving and maintaining CMMC level 2 compliance. Number two is the severe financial and legal risk associated with making that mandatory annual affirmation while knowing compliance drift is happening.
The liability factor.
Huge. And number three is simply the high cost and inefficiency of trying to do manual compliance checks constantly across potentially thousands of endpoints. They are desperately seeking mitigation of liability and cost savings.
So their message needs to speak directly to CMMC enforcement as an ongoing automated process, not just a point-in-time audit scramble.
Precisely. The core message needs to be,
no.
automate CMMC compliance and eliminate risk. You'd say something like, Absolute transforms CMMC from a stressful periodic audit into a continuous state of verifiable enforcement. Our unique application resilience ensures your critical NIST 800-171 controls are always working, eliminating compliance drift.
Okay.
This provides the indisputable firmware-backed evidence you need to not only pass audits, but to confidently win and retain DoD contracts and make your annual affirmation without fear. We take the risk out of compliance.
Powerful message for them. Okay, moving to the strategic partners who actually build and deliver these solutions, the FSI program manager or the solution architect, the person responsible for delivering the ZTA or CMMC solution in the field for the government customer.
Right, persona three, FSI program manager solution architect. Their pain points are almost entirely operational and financial related to their own business. They worry constantly about those security agent failures on the endpoints they manage for the government.
Because it hits their bottom line.
Directly. Agent failures lead to high, often unrecoverable labor costs for their own teams to fix things. And it puts them at contractual risk because failed agents mean they're violating the SLAs they signed with the agency. They are looking for reliability that boosts their margin and reduces their delivery risk.
So the value proposition has to frame Absolute's resilience as a pure business advantage for the FSI.
Exactly. The message is build on a resilient foundation for profitability and reduced risk. You tell them. Embed Absolute's unique self-healing persistence into your managed service offerings and ZTA deployments. You will drastically reduce your operational costs tied to agent failures, eliminate security gaps that cause SLA penalties, and deliver a more resilient, more compliant, and ultimately more profitable solution to your government customers.
Make your lives easier, make them look better to the client, and save them money.
That's the trifecta. Use Absolute to guarantee your SLA adherence, simplify your ZTA and CMMC service delivery, and create higher margin offerings.
Okay, clear value prop for the FSI. And finally, let's go down into the trenches. The IT asset manager or the endpoint manager, the person dealing with the day-to-day chaos of dark endpoints, inventory accuracy, and device lifecycle.
Yeah. Persona 4, IT asset endpoint manager. Their daily pain points are very tangible. It's the lack of visibility of those dark endpoints that fall off the network or get re-imaged without notice. It's dealing with inaccurate inventory reports needed for audits or software license reclamation. It's the logistical nightmare and security risk of trying to securely wipe hundreds or thousands of retired devices according to strict federal data destruction standards.
They need simple, effective control and visibility over the whole fleet.
That's exactly it. They need a single source of truth. So that message here is straightforward and promises immediate operational relief.
Keep it simple.
See and control every endpoint. Always. Something like, Absolute's unique firmware embedded connection gives you a single reliable source of truth for your entire device fleet, whether it's on the network or off. Stop wasting hours chasing lost or unresponsive assets. Reclaim unused software licenses immediately and ensure every device is securely managed and verifiably wiped from the moment it's deployed to the moment it's retired. All from one console. #TagMDTRO.
Wow. Okay, that really brings us full circle on what is, as we said at the start, a massive and complex topic.
Uh-huh.
The federal market shift, driven by these huge mandates like ZTA and the hard deadline for CMMC enforcement, it's clearly made resilient endpoint security an absolute necessity. It's not just a nice to have anymore.
Not at all. It's foundational. And Absolute's firmware embedded persistence, that core differentiator, seems fundamentally positioned as the key capability that ensures those critical security agents. And by extension, the entire ZTA framework and CMMC compliance posture don't just fall apart due to software fragility.
It offers that unique solution, that guarantee of continuous visibility and continuous compliance enforcement across the whole distributed enterprise. Even those high-risk, off-network devices used by remote federal workers and, critically, throughout the defense industrial base.
That's the argument.
So thinking back over our discussion, what should really stand out to you, the listener? You should now have a really detailed understanding that the biggest systemic risks undermining federal cybersecurity right now are, one, the operational fragility of software agents leading to that dangerous compliance drift.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the invisibility of off-network or failing devices, creating those pervasive dark endpoints that break ZTA.
And hopefully you also now possess the strategic roadmap. You see how this specific firmware-based solution targets the highest value civilian agencies, DHSCS, HHSVA, and the highest value defense contractors, focusing on the top 25 primes for leverage and that critical mass of 8,350 subcontractors facing the level 2 deadline.
Using mandate-aligned messaging, speaking directly to their most urgent financial, operational, and liability pressures.
Absolutely. You need to talk ZTA device pillar security to the agencies and CMMC continuous enforcement and risk reduction to the DIB.
We started this deep dive by comparing the federal ZTA push to building this new, complex, distributed security fortress based on explicit trust, not implicit trust.
Right.
The core takeaway, it seems to me, has to be this. Relying on software alone to secure other software, especially critical security software, is just inherently flawed in these complex environments.
It's building on sand.
Exactly. You need a permanent hardware-backed foundation for those critical security locks, the agents that are supposed to be defending the fortress. Otherwise, the whole structure is vulnerable.
Which raises a really important question, and maybe this is the final provocative thought we can leave you with today. Given that hard CMMC enforcement deadline of November 10th, 2025, which is now very much on the horizon.
Looming large.
And given the widely documented fragility of traditional, purely software-based security agent solutions, how long can defense contractors, and for that matter, federal agencies trying to implement true zero trust, really afford to rely on security systems that don't have that fundamental firmware-level guarantee of operation baked in?
That's a tough question they need to answer soon.
The operational, financial, and legal pressure to achieve and maintain continuous verifiable compliance is only going to intensify with every single quarter that passes between now and that deadline. The status quo of fragile agents and compliance drift just isn't sustainable.
A critical thought indeed to take with you as these mandates mature and deadlines approach. Thank you for diving deep with us today on this crucial topic.
My pleasure. Until next time.